Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hello, this is Dawn Westmoreland with the Empowered Whistleblower. Today, I have a very unique person, and I'm going to tell you about this person because spirituality is something that not everyone out there understands. They have different meaning to it. So I'm going to read her bio. She is a facilitator of remembering. I'm speaking about Tina Firewolf, and she is also called the Cosmic Farm Girl. And she's cultivating sustainable inner peace, causing a remembering. She combines her cosmic gifts, background in science and leadership, and her rocking multi-tonal vocalizations to accelerate and simplify personal development. Tina is dedicated to joyfully stopping the seeking outside of oneself syndrome. She shares a lighthearted approach to the how of self-leadership and personal healing by empowering people with real-world skills for powerfully peaceful communication. People who learn her experimental self-leadership method uncover their unique sound and sing themselves into sustainable inner peace. We'll also, at the very end of our conversation, we will also talk about her book, Beneath the Chatter, The Wise Self Awaits. So I'd like to welcome Tina Firewolf. Welcome, Tina.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Dawn.
You are definitely doing things that are very different. So I would love for you to jump in, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what you're doing, and explain what your bio is about. This is so
sure.
Unique.
Yeah, well, thank you. I definitely march to my own drum, but I just want to say thank you for everybody that's listening and giving their time to be with us today. I really appreciate that. And just a little bit about my background. You know, I think that we all come to life in our own direction. I'm very honoring of the fact that we're each here having our own experience, and that within that experience, we have our own way of defining things. So as I speak today, I encourage everyone to just insert words that fit for them. You know, if there's a word I say, they're like, I don't know about that word, then put one in that fits for you, because I truly do honor we all are really here having our own experience. And my experience of life, you know, started out growing up on a farm. And I always tell people I grew up feral on a farm, and it was the best way to grow up because I had a horse and hundreds of acres. And, you know, I spent an incredible amount of time alone, which really allowed me to be very grounded inside of myself. And to really know how to be with myself in all the ways that we show up, you know, whether we're angry or sad or jealous or mad or whatever it is, but also to be very still and quiet. And as everybody probably knows, being still and quiet is profound, especially when we can really sink inside of ourselves beneath all the chatter, whether it's in our head or around us. That stillness is very, very powerful. And science is even proving that the brain needs stillness to rebuild itself. So years ago, I was teaching middle school science in what I call a lockdown bomb threat kind of school in California. And, you know, it was utter chaos. And I was really I was a new teacher, and I taught there for 8 years, and it was an incredible experience that required me to truly discover my own inner peace. And beyond that, I better form a skill set so that I could sustain that place. So I was dealing with divorce and tons of random illnesses that doctors couldn't seem to figure out, and at the same time working in this very chaotic environment. And so I kind of came to what I do by necessity, which I think is, you know, life ushers us into these places from time to time. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. You know, you're probably all sitting there going, oh yeah, you know, we get ushered into these places. Yeah, where we're not really expecting to go. You know, I mean, I come from a science background, and I was in the world of science for years before I became an educator, and, you know, was in leadership and whatnot. So to then come into this world of, I'm going to be the cosmic farm girl and I'm going to cause a remembering, was a little startling. But it was, like I said, it was necessary. And the singing that I do, folks tell me repeatedly that it sinks them beneath their chattery mind faster than anything that they had discovered to date. And that includes, I've had people tell me who have gone to Peru and worked with shamans, that the singing that I do taps them into themselves faster than it did when they were working with the shaman in Peru. So, I mean, I've heard all sorts of things. And, you know, I just kept getting ushered into this. I was teaching school one day. A little boy said to me, you know, why doesn't anybody tell us this stuff? As I was discussing with them the intricacies of how to change one's attitude. And that's the moment I realized, like, oh, I'm being called in another direction.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. So jumping in, Tina, you were dealing with a kind of crazy, chaotic school. Was there a lot of bullying going on, harassment, discrimination at that time?
I think there was a whole host of things that I didn't, you know, a lot of which I may not have even been aware of because I was a new teacher. And, you know, gosh, God bless the new teachers, because, you know, we come into it with such fervor and such joy and excitement in our hearts. And then, boy, does reality hit home fast. At least it did for me. And, you know, I worked with a lovely group of folks that I can honestly say everybody was really giving it their all. But we were faced with a whole host of challenges, including leadership that perhaps wasn't up to date with a skill set. Let's put it that way. So the bullying that was occurring, you know, I saw the bullying on multiple levels. Of course, I saw it between the students, you know, physically, aggressively, when I was doing yard duty or whatever, you would see physical, actual, which you would typically think of bullying, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pushing, yes. Punching, this kind of stuff, cursing, you know, whatever, very overt. But I became more and more sensitive and more concerned about the hidden bullying, the passive bullying, the unseen bullying, even if I'll go as far as to call it energetic bullying. And that's what I speak to and where I'm most concerned.
Now that makes a lot of sense. And I have to tell you, I have a lot of appreciation for you for being a teacher, because on my mother's side, I'm thinking there's four or five teachers, and I've heard the stories about bullying, discrimination, I've heard just about everything probably you've seen. So what really got you into doing all those vocal sounds? And let me tell you, the other day I saw you on Facebook and you were doing some kind of, and I'm going to say it right, vocalization. I thought, wow, she has a beautiful voice. What got you into that? Does this tie into bullying and discrimination?
Well, let me just, I'm going to backtrack just a step if I can. The school,
sure,
I worked at was really unique in that I think it was about 86% free and reduced lunch. It was a Title I school. We had, I believe, like 89% second language learners. So the school was a melting pot. I mean, it was, and I actually really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the diversity of the students. You know, it was really lovely to experience all the, just all the diversity and everything that everybody brought to the table. So that was the kind of school I was in. I think that it was, that in itself provided a whole host of needs that needed to be met all at one time, which, you know, in my experience, a school system just wasn't designed perhaps to do. I was teaching Hmong students, which are is an Asian population of students who at, you know, at that time, I don't even know, maybe they still don't, who knows, but at the time there wasn't really any written language or materials for them. Mm-hmm. So that was a really challenge. That was a big challenge to do that. And that, you know, when folks aren't learning, or at least there isn't ease and grace in the learning, I think that all just kind of amplifies chaos.
Wow.
So that's, I just wanted to backtrack for a minute so that, you know, kind of paint a fuller picture of the school. The sounds just started spontaneously pouring out of me. One day I was driving home and I was, you know, obviously in a very stressful situation. And we, you know, science proves that anybody that's consistently in a stressful situation deals with high levels of cortisol and all sorts of different things. So I was becoming more and more and more ill. Mm-hmm. My classroom was the school had black mold, so the school was being renovated. You know, I mean, so I'm seeing bullying on all different levels. Okay, I'm seeing it as a dirty workplace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands my definition of where I'm going with this. But mm-hmm. the sounds just started pouring out of me, and I knew that I needed to discover a life that would support me living in a way that I could come from peace, whether I was communicating or I was being productive. Okay, so in other words, fear, I didn't want fear to be driving me anymore in my communication nor in my productivity. I needed to come from a place of peace. So when the sound started coming, I heard very, very clearly inside myself, which I always have because of the way I grew up, and that's why I told everybody about that in the beginning. I heard very clearly, child, sing yourself whole. And I just started singing and allowing the sounds to come from my deepest, wisest, you know, most peaceful place inside of myself. And what I discovered was I can make sounds that could heal myself. I can produce frequencies and tones that are exactly what I need to hear in that moment to either usher the emotion through me or come to some sort of completion within me around a mental thought or even releasing past pain. Now, before people think I'm like, you know, kind of woo-woo or something, that's not the case at all. Because if you look at science, and you look at our ancestors, science right now, especially in our culture, science is discovering all sorts of new things about frequency, sound waves, you know, the healing capacity of sound. That's probably why there's tons of meditation CDs and, you know, all of this stuff. I just happen to be able to make the sound. It's like being an artist who produces sound from nowhere, right? Where's the painting come from? It comes from nowhere. You can decide what nowhere is, and everybody has their own definition of what, quote, nowhere is, or what creativity is. But that's where the sounds came from. And I just started singing.
That's unreal, Tina. And you're not talking woohoo, because, you know, scientists have proven that everything is energy. And at least one or two times a week, I get sound healing. And it's scientifically proven. So I've watched myself have, you know, an autoimmune disorder. And, you know, by sound healing and other energy healing, you know, later on, and also my belief system, I have found healing. So I know what you're talking about is true. It's not something new. It's not new age. As some people get scared, you know, especially very religious people or conservative, they get scared. But we do have that ability to heal others. and ourselves. So you found out that you could heal yourself by your singing. And then what happened after that? Did you start sharing your gifts?
Well, you know, it was my students. They just kept saying, you know, you need to go and like write your book, and you need to go and be a motivational speaker. And for 2 years, they just kind of nagged me until I retired. And then they were very upset that I was retiring. I'm not quite sure what they thought I was going to do, but I think that was a foreign concept to them. But yes, I created a CD recently. It's called Medicine Within, Vocalizations to Free the Soul. And I work with folks one-on-one and in groups and at workshops and events and things like that to find their own unique sound so that they can have a tool that is always with them to aid them in moving through extreme stress, chaos, emotions, mental chatter, and even past pain and physical pain. Mm-hmm. So, and that came to me. We were in a... We had a threat on campus. We all got put into the gymnasium. And I'm not quite sure if anyone has experienced being locked in a gymnasium with an entire middle school, but it's pretty close to just about doing it. And, you know, I'm sitting there in complete utter chaos. And I remember I stuck my fingers in my ears to just like try to find like just a moment of silence, or at least toned down silence. And I heard very clearly from inside myself, calm within the chaos. And I knew that I had to produce that level of calm to calm my students, the students around us. And so I started just basically moving myself into a meditative state and talking with my students, and they all got very calm. I remember them all gathering. We all gathered around each other in the bleachers. And and the more we gathered and got calm, the more curious other people were around the edges, and they were gathering and getting calm. And eventually, you know, everybody was calming, and it just started, I started realizing, oh, these sounds and my ability to sink that far into my inner peace is very valuable.
Oh my goodness, yes. And I have to tell you, Tina, I started getting chills when you started talking about it. I tell you, I wish I knew you back when I worked in the Pentagon years ago in the late 80s. It was such a stressful type A personality. Nobody looking each other in the eyes. I mean, we could have used somebody like you. I worked there 3.5 years, and I would have loved to know somebody like you. So what are you doing these days? Are you going into companies, consulting?
I think I'm heading to the Pentagon.
Yes.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, I know
I'll go
that
with
I've
you.
Been, yeah, I would love it, Dawn. We definitely need to talk about that, because I know that there's no way I've been put through everything I've been put through, and I'm sure you can relate to this, for me to just go and, like, you know, cut grass or something. Not that there's anything wrong with cutting grass, and there are days I envy folks that, you know, have a job that is, it's very clear. You know what I mean? I'm going to cut this yard and I'm going to go home. My life has been a little bit wild, and it's okay. I mean, I've embraced it, and I know that the sounds that I produce such a deep level of peace. And it's really, it's getting to the point where, it's taken me 17 years to get to this depth of inner peace inside of myself. And it definitely, you know, I don't see our world having, I talk to so many people, and their number one complaint typically is, you know, their work environment or the people they work with. It's typically, you know, the people they work with, and which is pretty much the work environment. And so, and that was my biggest concern was the way people communicated to each other or didn't. And, you know, on all levels, especially that unseen level. And so, you know, basically, yeah, I'm taking my work into corporations, and I'm really anxious to get into corporate or a deeper place in the corporate world, and absolutely into the political scene on a global scale, because this level of peace that everybody talks about, or they talk about the opposite of it, but whichever one they're talking about, We are responsible. In my experience, because I lived it for 8 years, in my experience, the only thing that got me out of that con- completely chaotic environment was me taking sole responsibility for formulating the inner peace with inside myself. And then I could become this example of how I communicated and how I was productive from that place of peace. And that responsibility to build that place of peace is on every single person on this planet. It's on everybody's shoulders. And I've realized that the singing that I do really accelerates and simplifies the process, because I don't really think we have time for the folks, you know, for folks on the planet that maybe just be coming to this kind of peak place in their life to wait for everybody to plow through the depth of stuff that's inside when you start getting quiet, because there's a lot in there that needs to be released and worked through. So the sound just kind of cuts right through all that. It's a levelizer.
Yeah. Are you able to teach other people how to do this? I mean, for example, I do not have the gift of singing. I don't sing in the car. I don't sing in the shower. I mean, I'd probably be the one who would buy your CD, but can you teach this to other people?
Yes, absolutely. And I have spent, I call them my headbanging years, because the past several years, it really was like I was banging my head against the wall. But mm-hmm. I have developed, because I had to figure out what was happening to me that I was able to do this. What did I discover? So I, since I have a science background, I just took the scientific method and was like, okay, I'm going to apply this to myself. And I'm going to study myself, and I'm going to come up with a method that people can clearly follow that will not only create inner peace, but sustain inner peace. And I call that my experiential self-leadership method. And it's a very simple process. You know, I always tell people, I cultivate sustainable inner peace minus all the stuff, minus all the shit, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah, minus all the stuff, minus all the stuff that we find inside of ourselves. So it's a very simple way. Of course, I say simple. I did not say easy, because easy, I don't know about easy on this planet. I haven't found easy yet, but there
me
is
neither.
Simple.
It's, yeah. I have not either.
There's quite a lot of people going, yeah, me neither. But it's simplistic, and it does accelerate the process of finding this place of peace and discovering your own unique sound. So yes, I can teach people to find their own unique sound. But the interesting part is it requires discipline, just like everything else in life, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So do you see yourself getting into all the schools, as many schools as possible, and getting a program like this? I mean, I know some schools are doing meditation, even bringing in mindfulness. Are you going to be that pioneer that gets out there into all the schools and get a program going like yours?
I feel very called to government. I don't know. I have not sat enough in silence with myself about the schools. I would welcome to go to a school that approached me. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if people are listening, teachers, administrators, these kinds of folks, and they're going, oh my gosh, if we don't do something soon, you know, we're going to implode. Please feel free to connect with me. I'm just not sure that I'm going to target that avenue myself. And the reason is I have found nothing but resistance in that arena.
Okay.
And I feel very called to, I feel very called to government, and I also feel very called to a stage, like almost in a performance aspect.
Okay. And I'm curious, I have my own assumptions, but why government?
I'm sorry, let me just sit with that, because I know there's some beautiful words there.
Absolutely. And take your time. I mean, I'd like to know, you know, also if you're getting out there into the federal, because there's lots of opportunities to get out there in the government and, you know, to teach and consult and be a contractor even with the work that you do.
I think that that's just where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that there is most suffering there. There is just the most suffering there, and it causes the most suffering, if that makes sense. that realm is causing a lot of suffering. And I just keep hearing explosive. I just keep hearing it, the word explosive. When I think about that part of the world, I'm here to make the biggest impact I can make at one point in time. So in other words, stages with 2,000 plus audience members, global stages, because I feel very called that there is, I'm going to say, urgency to the work that I do and to it getting out there in the biggest way possible at one time.
Well, that is beautiful. And I have to say, I've worked 25 years in the federal government. So you nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. 20 years in the Air Force, 5 years in the Veteran Affairs. And, you know, I work with EEO, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, issues with the work I do. I do HR consultant and a bunch of other things around workplace bullying, discrimination. And the federal government definitely has problems. There's more complaints from the federal government usually than the private sector. And I'll take just a minute to explain it to the listeners. First of all, when you do a EEO case, maybe there's discrimination, you file some kind of discrimination, age, maybe LGBT or disability or something like that. First of all, it's a long process. Some of it can take 4 to 5 years to get, you know, any kind of answer, response, or a settlement or something like that if there's no retaliation. If there is retaliation, it's usually faster. But the thing is, when it's a settlement, it's not from the private sector's pocketbook. The federal, it comes out of taxpayers' money when there's settlements. So a lot of times there are settlements that are done by the federal agencies out there, and there's quite a few out there. I think there's 39-40 federal agencies out there that I know of. And so when they settle, it's not out of their pockets. It's out of taxpayers' money, which is kind of a shame. So what if there was more peace? What if there was more tolerance? It would be perfect. It would be just absolutely perfect.
Absolutely it would be. And the thing that I found about that is that peace must become experiential. And that's why I call my process the experiential self-leadership method. First, people have to learn how to lead themselves within themselves. They have to learn how to deal with what's in there when they get there. And then they got to learn how to sustain it. And I teach that how, but I also, through my singing, am able to give them an actual experience of what it's like to experience peace. And I believe that once you experience peace, you're willing to do what's needed to then cultivate that within yourself.
And I could see you needing to teach people, because I know myself, I'm a very much a type A, very much an alpha personality. And I just know that the first time I tried to meditate, I mean, I almost came out of my skin because it was so uncomfortable. And I know you know where I'm going with this. You know, how do you get people to become calm and to listen and to go within? I mean, it's been hard for me.
Nobody wants to go in there because there's so much pent up stuff, right? And so it's like, I've taught workshops and taken people inside and had them burst into tears. Mm-hmm. I've had them just stand up and walk out of the room, you know, because it's painful. You go in and there's memories, there's, you know, there's all this stuff comes flying at you. And that's why my method is just a simplistic way of saying, okay, here's how you get in. Here's what to do once you're in there, and here's how to sustain this. Now, because I was like you, years and years ago when I first tried sitting meditation, I thought I was going to crawl the wall. You know, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I have so much energy and fire, and you're going to tell me to sit here? You've got to be kidding me. And so it took me years to figure out what was really going to work for me. I found moving meditations like swimming and biking and walking, but I do it very, very, very consciously. And I work with folks on that. But eventually, as I freed myself from all the pent-up stuff, I became able to sit. And this morning, my meditation you know, I meditate anywhere from like 5 minutes to however long it wants to be. It just depends upon what kind of day structure I have, right? So, because meditation can be, it can be 20 seconds. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
But this morning it was an hour and it was so profound. And I remember coming out of my meditation thinking, I am so grateful that I have put in this effort all these years to be able to sit this still and quiet and present with myself. Because not only do I renew and rest and nourish myself at the cellular level, and that's scientifically proven as well, if people need to look up meditation and, you know, the effects on the physical body, they can do that. But not only am I nourishing myself that way, I am able to receive information and messages from my wisdom inside myself. And that is priceless.
I was just about to get into that. Yes, it's when you can get really calm and quiet. I mean, even walking in the woods for me, getting really quiet, all of a sudden an idea pops in your head. Maybe it's a business idea. Maybe it's a personal idea. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? But
right.
If you're always running hard and you're never slowing down, you're not going to get that message. And you probably missed a lot of messages. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I'm going to be giving a talk in April at a business conference, and I'm going to be talking specifically about that. It's like, you know, about, it's actually going to be on branding and following, how to follow your own brand, be the one that guides your brand, basically. And I say it that way because if you don't know how to get information from your own wisdom, you're not the one living your life, nor are you the one creating your business, mm-hmm. or are you really actively, you know, really effectively dealing with what's in front of you.
Awesome statement. So what I hear you saying is that you really have to claim your own personal power. You're not going to get it from other people. I mean, yeah, you'll get help, but it's not the same. The wisdom is within each of us.
And it's right. And that's why I say we're having our own experience, because I'm going to take you inside yourself and you're going to find your own answer. You know, when when folks work with me, it's not about, because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a this and I'm a that coach and I'm a this and a that and I, you know, I'm psychic and all these kinds of things. And really all they're doing is telling you what they sense you should do. I don't do that. I take you into you and then I teach you how to ask yourself the kinds of questions that you need to be asking and how to deal with the inner visioning techniques that are needed so you can get that information from yourself and cultivate your own inner peace. And then the sustaining part, that's a whole other piece. But I really feel very, very, very strongly that if, you know, if people are being bullied, if you know, women who complain about men harassing them, you know, on and on and on the list goes. There is, now I'm not saying those things aren't happening, okay, because I have lived through my own bullying and my own harassment. So I know it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know the part I played in it. And this is a piece that I don't think is very popular to talk about, but I tend to talk about all the things that aren't popular. So
go right ahead. I love it. Yeah. Go ahead.
We have a responsibility, whether we're a woman or we're a man, doesn't matter, to learn how to cultivate the correct skill set so that we can deal with these chaotic situations, these bullying situations, these harassing situations, and they will stop.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'm a firm believer that everything in our lives, all the trauma, all the different difficult experiences, you know, they're not challenges, but they're opportunities for us to grow and learn from them. So we're going to wrap up our show, but Tina, I want you to talk about some of your events that are coming up, how to reach you if you want to be reached. I got a feeling you do. And, you know, I'll put contact information, website. Of course, it's also going to be on your bio, but, you know, speak a little bit about yourself, because you're doing amazing such. And I believe that your background also brought you to be who you are today, and I honor that. So go ahead and tell
Absolutely.
The audience all about your events and experiences and books and stuff.
Sure, absolutely. I work with people in a long-term way, but I work with people in a variety of ways. So, you know, sometimes it's an event, sometimes it's a workshop, sometimes we're out in the woods. It just depends upon what someone is looking for and what they need. My website is TinaFirewolf.com. There's my phone number and email are on the website. So TinaFirewolf.com. I offer a 1 hour complimentary exploratory session. It's not a sales call. I do not do pushy sales. So please don't be afraid to contact me. The call is really about you and I seeing if we form a good team. You're the one that's the leader and the healer. I'm the one that facilitates the remembering. So the phone call is all about, you know, where are you? Where do you want to be? How are you going to know you're there? What's it going to feel like when you're there? And we talk about that. That's what the phone call is for. It's, you know, you can email me through my website and set up an appointment. This, at the end of February, if you're local to the Asheville area, I'm going to be speaking at the Chakasha Nights, which is a very unusual word. It's a fun evening of presenters. I think there's about 8 of us. We each get 20 slides for 20 seconds. It's really kind of a fun format. I'm going to be speaking on the true purpose of the sound of your voice on February 23rd. And the information is also on my website. And then on the 17th, if you're in the Charleston area this weekend, I'm going to be down there teaching a workshop on the same thing about how to get beneath your chatter, which is the title of my book. And we're going to learn about sound and finding our own unique sound. So that's down in Charleston. Again, it's on my website. And then in April, I have other events coming up, but I will be at the Small Business Conference. It's April 30th. The Western Woman Carolina Business Center is putting it on, and that's April 30th. That's up here in Asheville, and I'll be talking about branding and how to be the one that drives your brand. And anytime I talk or speak or do anything, we always work a little bit with sound.
Fantastic. And the name of your book one more time and how they can get it.
The name of my book is Beneath the Chatter. It's contemplative photography, and it is on my website. My CD is on my website. My TEDx video is on my website. I talked about communicating from chaos to love, and you can hear a little bit more about my school experience and how the sound came about and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, what an amazing person you are. And I am going to go and listen to you. And one other thing is that I will add that where she's at is Asheville, North Carolina, which is also where I'm at. Sometimes when we say Asheville, people hear Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know why.
Oh, there you go.
And you know what I'm talking about, right, Tina? Well, this has been really fun. I've learned from you. I honor you. And I'm so grateful that you came on and talked about a subject that's just a little bit different and authentic than just our technical information about bullying and discrimination. So thank you so much.
You're most welcome. And may I leave you with some sound? May I make some sound for everyone?
Yes, I'd be honored.
Okay. All right. Just a couple seconds. I'm not sure how much time we have, but.
Take a minute or two. That was beautiful. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Dawn.
Back to memories of, you know, the Lakota and listening to their beautiful songs and music. To all the audience, always know you don't have to be a victim. We have solutions for discrimination and bullying, and Tina just told you one of the solutions. Everyone have a great day and stay empowered.
Yay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Domery Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.